Turn to,
I go like this when people talk.
Go to Galatians 5. I'm always impressed with the severity and the powerful admonitions and warnings the Scriptures give us, as if we need them. Yeah? Well, apparently we do need them, or we wouldn't be getting such strong admonition. So, with that as a premise, realize your need to be exhorted and admonished. Again, living on this street. A little laughter there because the curtain just fell, for those who are in radio land here.
I don't even know what the curtain is.
Yeah, we have a curtain here at the Trinity that blocks all of our noise. What was that? So hard to go on. As I was saying.
Well, I could ask Kevin a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last night, on Malcolm in the Middle, David Cassidy said, "What is it? What we call it, prison? Is that where you got that?" Never mind. Wow.
Would you let us in on that?
Yeah. His little pithy comment the other night about how the president is here and now is a gift of God or something, and that's why they call it the present.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was on Malcolm in the Middle.
Did they get it from you?
He gets all his stuff from David Cassidy.
Okay. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, the reason I said what I said before is the fact that you are more than likely not going to stand fast. You're more than likely going to take up the yoke of bondage, which is very comfortable for you. So rather than stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free with, we return to the beggarly safety of the, you know, things that we have become accustomed to in our normal life, and that's what we are, you know, that's our covering. But Christ has made us free, and apparently it's not easy to accept that freedom, or we wouldn't be getting admonished to hold on to it. So, number one, recognize your absolute stupidity as a believer who's been given everything and yet is so willing to return to bondage. It's really something to consider how you don't have it together spiritually. You don't have it wired. You don't know anything. You're dumb as a rock. If you think you're getting better, getting smarter, starting to understand more, it's just your mind tricking you into some another form of safety. Because that's the one of the core programs of this Antichrist mind, is to find a safe place. And once you come to Trinity and start hearing this, it just reprograms and says, okay, well, I can still find a safe place. Well, in this doctrine that we've been delivered into, there is no safe place. Now, you can still, you know, create a little bit of covering for yourself, but we're admonished to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Behold, Paul, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, circumcised is always it's the law, and it's doing something to gain your righteousness. And I don't think we have a lot of consciousness of the fact. Like if you were back in the old days where the sacrifices were taking place, you know, and the religion was the community and the society, you probably have more of an understanding of you were doing something to gain righteousness. If you, you know, helped somebody, you were righteous. If you did this, you were righteous. We're doing the same thing. We're doing things to be righteous, as opposed to just being our nasty old selves sometimes. So, or our good old selves. It doesn't matter. You know, I don't want to just say because we do bad stuff. It's the good and the evil. If we do bad stuff, we think we're bad. If we do good stuff, we think we're good. And from God's point of view, both are self-seeking. So we're trying to get into that place where we're walking in the moment, not judging for ourselves what's good and what's evil. That's easy to just roll right off the lips. Don't judge good and evil. Hey, I just said it. Now try and walk in that. You'll find that that's what you're programmed to do. So as far as I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Well, that ought to be frightening. If you want to be righteous in one point, then you've got to take up the whole enchilada. You've got to carry all the weight of all the law. I mean, it's too much. And you should be convinced very easily that you're not capable of that. It says, because Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So it behooves you to examine your ways and say, because the way people work is they will disobey 98%, 99% of the laws, but they'll perform two or three, and that becomes their righteousness. Well, I may be bad here and there, but I am doing this. I do feed the poor, or I do tithe, or I do...
Keep the speed limit a lot of
times. I don't make the... Yeah, I wear my seatbelt. Hey, I feel good about myself.
I do smoke a lot of meat around.
You smoke the meat.
Hey.
Well, that carries you a long way, though. You keep smoking that meat. Yeah. In this kingdom, we're going to let you stay. But actually, you know, it's a good example. You might just feel good about yourself because you smoke that meat, you know. And I feel good about myself when I wear my seatbelt. You know, I get this... Oh, there, I've done it. I've satisfied the law, you know. And then I'll speed off into the night. We're evil, you know. We do that all the time. But we're admonished by these scriptures to recognize it, you know, and say, well, wait just a minute. Because how many have experienced that pride comes before the fall? God, I hate that. Yeah, who has not experienced that? Every time I get lifted up in myself, I get fearful because I thought, oh, shit, here it comes. I know something's about to knock me down. So fortunately, you can repent. That is a reality. You can, when you recognize that, you can go, whoops, and you just duck back under, get into, you know, that place of hearing under. And then whether or not the circumstances lead, you know, that would have knocked you down, come or don't come, isn't an issue because you've taking yourself down off the high place. But you don't want to be fallen from grace. You want to be purely walking in grace, living in grace. Especially us. I mean, I think because of our commitment to this way, to Him, we're more subject to this than anybody. So it behooves you to hear under. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And there's that word waiting. That the word always comes up, and the waiting is basically the position of consciousness. If you're ever conscious of it, then you're waiting. When you're subconscious, is in fact you're just being. But other than that, if you're thinking about it, you're in a position of waiting to see what God is about. And repenting. And then suddenly you forget and you go off and you begin to live your life and you just do. And that's always our exhortation, is to be. And the reason that's the exhortation is because being is always in the moment. Thinking about it and forecasting the future is always this thing is in control. You can see the little gears work in trying to make it. Well, how am I going to make this day work? Well, yesterday did this, so tomorrow's going to do that. And, you know, you're off into that realm. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So he just knocked out all your platforms. It's circumcision, which is doing the law, or uncircumcision, which is saying, I don't have to do the law. You're not covered in either place. You can't say, oh, good, I don't have to be circumcised, so I don't have to follow the rules. I can do anything I want, and I'm still under grace. Ha ha. Well, he just said, wait a minute. Uncircumcision doesn't avail anything either. But the only thing that works is but faith, which worketh by love. And love is that word that annihilates you. Because love is a function of having laid down your life to meet the needs of someone else. And where do you come in? You don't. You're laying down your life. And that's part of the state of being. So you're in the moment, you're being, you've engaged eternity. And you're not aware of it because you're not thinking about it. The minute you start thinking about it, then you've pulled back in and you're part of this machine up here trying to comprehend the reality, which can't be comprehended. It said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And implying that there's another persuader. And that other persuader, we know who that is. But that other persuader is always will take the very thing we're talking about and try and turn it into something that you can use. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So just the smallest amount of leaven, the smallest little trickle of an idea will infect the entire being. And it starts with you. But unfortunately, we're all so closely related that it spreads to everybody. So we always have to be reminded of our responsibility to one another. What I do doesn't not affect you. And what you do affects me. And it's only by your love for the brethren that will cause you to realize, well, maybe my doing this will hurt someone I love. And that's the only reason you would stop doing something. And that's not circumcision. You might stop doing something, but it won't be to follow the law. It will be to express love for someone else. So it's the same act, but the source, the motivating source, is completely different. I will stop doing something if I know that it's hurting someone that I love and care for. And that works. And it's by faith which worketh by love. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. There's two great things there. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Well, I do too. I have confidence in, I can look around the room. I have confidence in each one of you through the Lord. But I don't have any confidence in any one of you through the flesh. Though that would be my normal tendency. I like people. I believe in people. I think people are fun and I enjoy people. So what? You know, that doesn't have any eternal value. But to have confidence in you through Christ, suddenly there's a whole different take on that, what I just said, because I've taken everything out of the realm of me and you to him and him, and suddenly my confidence in you expands to endlessness. You know, in the flesh I can trust you just a little bit, but through the Lord I can have total confidence. And I can overlook everything. I don't then fall into judgment so easily of your faults and your trespasses and your sins. Because those aren't what I'm focused on. I'm focused on Christ in you. And that focus is broad and expansive and beautiful. But if I look at you in the flesh, I might find a fault or two without looking too far. And then I get judgmental, and then I have an opinion. And then I judge you downward, and I feel good because I've judged you down, and I'm better than you are. I mean, you enter into that cycle that is just devastating. And pretty soon there's no faith working by love, it's just hate working by judgment. But that's an exhortation to have confidence in one another through the Lord. And it says, he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Let the judgment of God take care of people who are troubling you. That's not your business. That's hard to do sometimes because we are, sometimes we're just made of judgment. But if you see the devastation that creates upon your own self and someone else, it's easy to repent of it. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. What is the offense of the cross? It's very hard to preach the cross because the cross annihilates you. You lose control. Control is one of the last big monsters that we have facing us. And to preach the cross means that I can't tell you what to do or not to do. And that's hard to do because, hey, if I see you doing something that I don't like, I might want to use the power of the community or the words of the doctrine or something to conform you into an acceptable way of behaving. But the cross doesn't permit that to happen. It has to be God's business that conforms you, not mine. And that's why we're not crowded. You know, we would be crowded if we would preach circumcision or uncircumcision. Because we have a good handle on what scriptures mean, but when it gets right down to it, we have to let everybody be free. And there has to be this freedom so that you are a fully tested part of the body. That's why I've said so many times when I'm teaching or talking that you have to have the courage to face who you are and to be who you are, which is not a easy task because we are circumcising our own selves with our behavior and how we should be, how we shouldn't. So this idea of what the cross means, I'm always amazed because we started this 76 or some year back then. We've been doing this 30 or so years. And I remember wondering then, what's it going to look like in 30 years? Because the rock of this community has been the preaching of the cross. And the preaching of the cross cannot be fully described. You can't say, this is what it is. You can say in 100 different ways what it is. It's dying to yourself. It's laying your life down. It's preferring another's interest over your own. It's not, and it's all the things that we've talked about. But to each one of us has to comprehend it in a very personal, visceral way, what it is to lay your life down.
30 years ago, I think it looked more like what I thought it would look like than it looks now.
Yeah, it started out pretty good.
In my brain.
Yeah.
Always had more money than we had now.
Yeah.
And just if I was to let my brain think about how things should be, it's not what I expected.
Yeah.
If I'm listening to my brain.
which is difficult to deal with because there's a lot of things in this community that aren't what we expected them to be, and in the flesh we don't like it. There's certain ways things operate, certain things that have happened in the past. We got a thousand things that we can be upset about. And yet the cross jumps in there and says, well, you can either be upset about it and then go off in that direction of working to change it, or you can trust that God has given us everything that we've got the way it is and say that's good. That's hard. That's hard sometimes.
You know, listen to this. The things we were talking about, you know, how to respect us or one another or whatever. And, you know, I was thinking that, when we get upset with a person, then we're out of position to give that person for whatever offense it is we think that the person has committed against us.
Right.
But I said that to say this. And I don't know where this is coming from, but you know, Thursday I didn't show up for Bible study, and last night I didn't show up for big group. And in my mind, it came to this, and this has been going on with me, and I guess, you know, I just had a feeling the same about it. And when you said that what we do affect one another, what stirred it up. And, you know, and what I was looking at was that, okay, we have Bible study, there's people here on the blog, or, you know, or members here or whatever, and they don't show up to Bible study. So, you know, so I used to excuse that, well, okay, you know, sometimes, you know, I am tired, and I'm irritable, and my blood sugar is messed up and everything, and I just get kind of goofy. You know, I just say, well, you know, I'm not coming. I'm going to just, you know, watch TV because I need to rest. And so in this morning, what we were talking about, you know, showing me how, you know, I was using that as an excuse for people not showing up for Bible study or whatever, or not participating in some of the activities that we do. You know, that affects me. And so if something affects me like that, then, you know, then it's like, okay, I have a justification to be, you know, miserable or upset or pissed off and judging people why, you know, that, you know, they don't show up for Bible study or fully participate in activities that we have, you know, in anything like have been, can't move or working on joint selling in the house or just any little thing. And it's, you know, it's just crazy and stupid. And last night, Michael Carlson, you know, I was outside smoking a cigarette, he came up and he said, he asked me, say, what's going on? I said, well, you know, check the car, make sure it's locked. And so then he asked me, said, why weren't you at Bible study? And the instant he said that, you know, I got stirred up, I got pissed off. And I forget what I said to him, but I was kind of like a little sneaky.
He came and talked to me about that.
Shock and all.
He came and talked to me.
Yeah, and you know, I thought about that, man.
Genuinely concerned about you.
Yeah. And you know, in my mind was like, well, what about all those other damn people that don't show up about Bible study? You know, are they important? Do you think about them? Do you go ask them why they didn't show up for Bible study? And I'm just saying, you know, all this shit going on in my head and stuff like that. But probably really had nothing to do with what was going on with me. And so, but you know, that's the excuse that I use. You know, what about all these other people that are here?
It's important because, I mean, just like Jared was saying a few minutes ago, what we do affects everybody, but we can't force anybody. We have to have freedom. We have to give each other freedom to come or to not come. So there's those two things working. But then you saw what you needed to see this morning anyway, is that your actions, we're all intimately tied with each other. When we separate ourselves, it affects the community.
And I guess the thing is that me not saying things to people saying that how, you know, them, you know, not being here affects me. And I guess that was, and that's the fear of me of ending up being in some kind of confrontation.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
And I think that's part of what it was, you know, what we say, you know, when you're upset or depressed or something, you know, you're not prophesying.
Right, and typically it's you're hurt, but rather than express weakness and hurt, you go judgmental and blame.
Right.
Which is gives you life as opposed to killing you. You know, when people don't show up, it hurts. And we miss them, and we need them, and we want them to be with us. But when they don't show up, those bastards, you know, where the hell are they? You know? And that's the tack we take. And then we feel better than them, and they are missing out, and we carry on. Then we're back into self. The cross is a terrible instrument because it kills you at every single turn.
And also, this morning made me see very clearly.
And hurt, actually hurt. It's like Mike Carlson is affected, and when he expressed it, you know, it was he probably expressed it. Maybe I don't know how he said it to you, but in any case, I think you made the point here. That's good.
Well, it's interesting to me to see what's going on with you because it goes on with me. You're in a position for several days of looking around and judging who's doing what, not doing what, which means you're really judging yourself about what you're doing and not doing. You know, you're in that mindset, and you're aware of the fact that you didn't come Thursday night, you're aware of the fact you didn't come Sunday night, you're already in an accusatory mode. Somebody comes up to you and asks you, how come you didn't come to Bible study? Not for a nanosecond do you consider the possibility that that's an expression of concern for you and a desire to, do you need anything, is there anything wrong? You immediately assume it's an accusation,
right?
Because mm-hmm. of the place you're in, which is accusation.
You already judged yourself. Yeah. And what's interesting is you have committed the very crime that you're pissed off about.
Yeah.
So you are, you're guilty of what you judge others of.
Yeah.
And that's in the book, you know. I mean, it's you're.
That's
not.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The living word.
Because you created, I mean, in reality, you created a universe of judgment.
Right.
Right.
And that, you're the center of that universe of judgment, and anything that comes into it has got to be judgment.
So for this moment, we can wipe the slate clean.
Yay!
Okay? That's the greatest thing. We can just, in a moment, wipe the slate clean, start over. Now, we know something's going to come, but it doesn't matter what it is. We've cleared the board, and hopefully now we can see clearly. And when something tries to present itself on the blackboard of life, we can, it won't get, you know, mixed up with all the other stuff we haven't repented of, but we have a clear screen now, and we're able to then repent quicker. That's why we meet often, so that we can keep clearing the slate and be able to repent and walk in His grace. I think I have to walk right now and take my daughter to school. So.
You need to